All right, open to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28. If you're new here or relatively new, we're preaching through the letter to Paul's letter to the Philippians, and we are at chapter 2, 12 and 13. What a great study Philippians has been, hasn't it? It's just, I don't know, the Holy Spirit really worked through Paul in the letter to the Philippians because they were such a neat church. When I say a neat church, you're a neat church. I think that the Philippian church was probably the closest church to Paul because they supported Paul in the ministry so many times when none of the other churches did that. Was a very poor region, at that time, very poor economy, so to speak, and the Philippian church, even though they were poor, came through for Paul, and so they just had a special connection. You know, Saadi was a Persian poet in the medieval times around 1100 to 1200 AD. And he wasn't only recognized for his quality of writing, but also for his depth of thoughts. He had been through the Crusades. He had been in jail. He had wandered all over the Holy Land trying to figure out things in life. And through all of the suffering and the torment and everything that he went through, he came up with some very good philosophy. And I want to read a statement he made. I fear God, and next to God, I chiefly fear him who fears him not. Now, if I could say it any clearer, maybe more in a pastoral way, or maybe more in a contemporary way, I would change and add one word and say this. I fear God, and next to God, I chiefly fear for him who fears him not. I fear for people who have no fear for God. To not fear God in a healthy way brings about a lot of pain in life, a lot of futility, the scripture says. Notwithstanding, it blocks us from growth and wisdom and knowledge. And I find myself at times not understanding why many people do not seem to have a healthy fear of the Lord in their lives when they have so many other fears, superstitious fears, and things that are not founded in the Bible. Solomon said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Without a healthy fear of the Lord, we are not able to distinguish true wisdom and knowledge in our life. Proverbs 1:28 says this. And it is when Solomon is talking here, he's talking about those who reject and don't have the fear of the Lord. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Doesn't that kind of give you shivers a little bit? They didn't respect the words of the Lord, his wisdom, his commandments, and his knowledge, nor did they seek to hold him in high self-esteem. And I think there's something here for you and I to learn today. As we talk about the fear of God, which to me is completely sobering and makes me glad that I have my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Matthew quotes Jesus saying this, and man, I am so glad I'm a Christian when I read this. Just listen to this. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Whew. Man, I'm glad to be a Christian. That should be fear for those who don't believe. And it certainly is sobering to me, and I'm sure it is to you too, because sometimes we forget the severity of God because we make God so much a friend that we forget that God has certain lines. And he teaches us and he disciplines us through his Holy Spirit, and he teaches us to live above foolishness, to live by his words and to avert the consequences of what sin brings into our lives. And here's what Hebrews 12 says as the author quotes God in the Old Testament. He says this, "My son, do not despise, do not think little of the chastening of the Lord." And the chastening there means child instruction, immaturity type instruction to bring us to maturity. "Nor be discouraged, nor be extremely weary or collapse," because there's a lot of times in our life when we suffer the consequences of sin, and it gets so hard sometimes you feel, have you ever been there where you just want to collapse? You get to the place where it's like, man, I don't know if I want to go on anymore. And then it seems like the Lord comes in and encourages us and strengthens us because he says this, "Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked," when you're shown fault by him, "for whom the Lord loves." Let's try that again. "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he instructs, and scourges every son whom he receives." And so when we become a Christian, the Lord loves us so much, he's a parent who is willing, and I love the word in here because it really puts it into our generation. He spanks us. And man, he spanks me a lot. Does he spank you? I mean, through the consequences of our sin and that kind of thing. Because the Lord loves us, he wants to grow up and be mature in him. So we have a life with God. And so the Bible definitely suggests that we should fear him as well as love him. Now listen to this proverb in 2:1, just a few verses later. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understand, yes, and if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord." Isn't that interesting? When we really, really look to listening to God, we will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice. He preserves the way of the saints." Don't you want to be the person in that Proverbs? To be shielded and protected. "Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equality, and every good path." Boy, it's so similar to what we're reading in Philippians. Listening to his words creates life and wisdom and knowledge and understanding. It guards our path. It protects us. It's the discerner of righteousness, and it creates the consequences in our life that are good. There's always consequences to everything we do, but they can be good rather than bad. But the reverse, not listening, rejecting what God has to say, brings about those bad consequences. And we experience, as Christians, the spanking, the rebuke, the correction of the Lord. And for me, I fear the negative consequences. Are you with me on that? Man, I'm telling you, and you've experienced, you think, how in the world did I get here? And if you just look back, you know exactly how you got there. And I don't know about you, but you may even have come today and you're a bit tired of those negative consequences in your life. And it comes from ignoring and choosing against the wisdom and understanding of what God's asked and suggested we do. You know, I've come to the place in my life where I weigh out every thought and as much as possible, every motive, every action, thinking, Lord, I want to be the man that you want me to be because the consequences are so great when that happens. Just to be able to live in peace rather than in that turmoil in our lives. Now here's the deal with God, I think. He explains his knowledge and his understanding in our lives and so that we can be spared from those consequences and from the pain. But when we turn into the wrong fears of God's unacceptance, condemnation, and superstitions, that's what we lack in our life. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but we have a fear as Christians that God is condemning us at times, even though it's against Scripture. For whom the Lord loves, he instructs. But we have a fear that maybe the Lord doesn't love us. He loves everybody around us, but maybe he doesn't love us. Totally against Scripture. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted, acceptable, graced out in the beloved. But we fear that we're not acceptable to God the way we are. But that's against Scripture. We are acceptable. But you know, I just find that it's amazing that people fear things that have nothing to do with God and the consequences, but instead fear superstitions and happenings and possibilities and insecurities. Let me just give you a couple. Mysophobia. The fear of dirt. Okay? Now, I would laugh at this and think, who would be afraid of dirt? Except I know a guy that from being a baby, his mom said he had to put out a blanket and he would not walk out of that blanket because he is so afraid to get the dirt on his hands. Hydrophobia. Fear of water, right? You remember those days. I can remember when I was a little guy and I got put in a rowboat and these guys rowed out to the middle of the lake and I could see as it got deeper and deeper and pretty soon I couldn't see anymore. And you know how you are as a kid, you're thinking, is there monsters in the water? What if I fell in and something would eat me? Yeah. Hydrophobia. Nyctalophobia. The fear of darkness. Tag, you're it! How many of you played that in the dark? And then it would be all the income free and you know, you'd be out there somewhere and somebody'd see you and scare you half to death in the dark. And so you'd have to have your bedroom door open for the next 3 nights. Acrophobia. Scared of heights. You know, I never had, I really not had that much fear of heights. In fact, I feel like I'm the only one that can get on a ladder and go up and do something because everybody else has acrophobia here. And so, but there was a time when all of a sudden I faced that real because we went to the Grand Canyon with the kids when they were small and they didn't have all that fancy decking they got out there now. And so we were on the Arizona side. And so we looked down in the Grand Canyon and while I was doing it, my foot slipped. Because, you know, the dirt there is kind of, make your foot roll, and it slipped a little bit. And it, gosh, my heart went up into my throat. And I had 3 or 4 nightmares about falling off over the hill, you know. And so that's acrophobia. Taxophobia. Being buried alive. Not tax as in income. Taxophobia. Being buried alive. That one hasn't been a big deal for me, but I know a lot of people have dreamed about scratching, you know, and wearing your fingers out and so on. Xenophobia, being scared of strangers. I think pretty much everybody has that to some level. Necrophobia, being scared of the dead. You know, when I looked at that, I remember when I started out in college, I was in a pre-med program, and so I went right to work for a hospital to help pay for my tuition. And so it was my first time, and I got trained as an orderly, and there were orderly aides, and We went through the deaf care, how we have to, you know, put tags on the toes and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's probably gross to you, but anyhow, I'll try to be careful about this. But anyhow, I got on to the ward and I was working. And the first time someone, a patient died in the hospital, well, it was my job to do something about it. And so I got in there with the doctors and they're all looking at me. And you know, when some dies, you put on gloves and gowns and you tie them and you tie them around the neck. Well, I didn't realize at that time, because I was not a public speaker in those days, I didn't realize that when you get nervous, your neck swells. Do you know that? I found that out. And so I had snugged it up, and pretty soon the doctors are looking at me. We're standing, this lady had passed away, and the doctor says, "Are you all right, Steve?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm okay," but my face was getting redder and redder. Finally, somebody came over and undid the top of my gown, and then all my blood went back to normal, and I realized, okay, I think everybody has a certain fear of looking at the dead. Is that not true? Yeah. Claustrophobia. Confined spaces. Some of us have it to a greater degree or lesser degree. I don't have much claustrophobia, but Bobby, who teaches one of the classes in there, he used to have a youth group, and so on a routine basis, they went up to the foothill near Golden, where there's a bunch of caves. And they would tie ropes to each leg and each person. And they would go through these caves. And there were places in the caves where they had to let out all of their breath in order to get through. No, not me. Triskaidekaphobia. You know what that is? The fear of the number 13. Yeah, if you go into any building, you will never find a 13th floor because nobody will rent there. So it just goes from 12 to 14. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but there's never a 13th floor in a building. And isn't it amazing that we construct buildings and build in superstition? We have coined these names for these kind of fears in life's possible dangers. But unfortunately, many people have learned to fear these kind of things that we must admit are superstition in so many ways. It's just the possibility of what could happen. But yet, don't have any kind of healthy fear of the Lord. Maybe the fear of the Lord that he's going to zap him. I think we do have the superstition if we say anything against the Lord, lightning's coming down, right? It never does, but somehow we keep thinking it's going to happen. So by now, maybe we should have some healthy phobias, okay? So I've made some up because I couldn't find them in the dictionary. Consequential phobia. Having the fear of living negative consequences because of our sin. Theorebukal phobia, okay? Theo meaning God, rebuke meaning God's rebuking. The fear of being rebuked and spanked by God because we're so stupid. Because we don't read his word and listen. Futile phobia. The fear of going directionless through life because we're depending on our own wisdom and not on God's wisdom. Amen? Theocondomate phobia. Believing that we are condemned by God when we are not. Are you getting that? We are not condemned by God. Do we believe that? We are not condemned by God. Unless we're an unbeliever. So why do we need to be afraid of God? Why can Paul say fear and trembling in our passage that we're about to read, and yet we know we have peace with God? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. He says in Romans 5:1. Great words of comfort. Let's read our passage. Because when we get to fear and trembling, the one question I have is, it says that we are to work out our salvation, our Christianity, with fear and trembling. And yet he says in Timothy, for you have not had the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. We have not been given the spirit of fear. So let's look at this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation, or work out your own Christianity with fear and trembling. And here's the reason. For it is God who works in you both to will or to wish or to desire or to perform to do for his good pleasure. And I want to translate this so it's literal out of the original, because I think it'll make a little more sense. For it is God who works in you both to will or to wish and to do or perform. For God is the one operating in you both to desire and to operate on behalf of what is wished for. Isn't that interesting? That's a little bit different. For God is the one operating in you and me both to desire and to operate on behalf of what is wished for. What is wished for? No consequences. Righteousness. Holiness. The things that in our heart we want to, just like when Jesus went in the garden and said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Isn't that true? In our heart we want those things. And God is working in us to make them happen. And so I look at that because God is the only good thing working in you to keep you from utter failure, from utter moral collapse, from utterly being lost in your sin and living a complete life of negative consequences. Isn't that true? He is the one that does that. No one else does that. Is that not reason enough to respect God? Just on that alone. Because of what he does to salvage us, to keep us from utter destruction. He's all we have, my friends. God is all we have. Work out your own Christianity with fear and trembling because it is God. Now, when he says fear and trembling, he is not talking so much about a state of terror or those occasional overcoming fears, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of reverence, of honor, of worship, of profound respect. I fear God because of total respect in what he is doing in me to keep me out of utter destruction, utter sin, and utter consequences in my life. How can I not give him the respect and the honor that's due him? How can you not give him the respect and honor that's due him? Let me put it this way. Donnie Fedders and James Reinhardt. Now, you may know one of the two of those. Those two boys love riding dirt bikes. They're always in a motocross. And what if one day Donnie and James came up and said, we have an extra bike, Steve. You want to do a motocross with us? Well, I love bikes. There's no question there. But they've been doing it for years. They have been doing it for years, and I have a healthy fear of climbing some of the hills that are straight up, going around corners where there's three or four bikes in a row, and you've seen them crash and burn when they do that. Running into each other, it's so easy to run your bikes into each other. I come out, you know, and dumping the bike. Because I just don't know a dirt bike that well. So my attitude for riding the motocross would be high respect. First of all, I have a deep respect for the dangers of bike riding. Both of them have broken several, if not many, many bones. They've had concussions. In fact, James has quit riding his bike because the doctor said you cannot get any more concussions. Isn't that all fun? Amen. They've fallen off their bikes. They've been run over by other bikes. They've been taken to the hospital and laid up for days, weeks, and sometimes months, and they know what they're doing. And I don't have the experience to ride against Donnie and James, or know how fast I should be going. And believe me, It sounds fun. But every dirt biker I know has at least one bad knee. Isn't that true? But I have a deep respect and for the possibility of inevitably getting injured if I try it. I have a deep respect for that. And you could say I have a healthy fear of dirt tracks and dirt bikes and a respect for those who ride in the competition. Don't we have the same healthy respect for God? I mean, who knows what they're doing, you or God? Not even a comparison, is it? We bumble through life. God understands it. If for no other reason, observing it for at least 6,000 years here, he's seen how everybody goes. He has a pretty good idea of life. And he knows the course that we will probably take, or at least choose to take. And so I want to read this to help us understand the fear of the Lord. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There is going to be an accounting for your life and for my life. When we walk into the sand, we're going to account for it. When we do well, we're going to account for it. That's enough to put the fear in me. I hate that statement in the Bible when it says that he will bring the secret things into the open. I don't want to hear your secrets, and I don't want him to hear mine. But he does every day. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I fear God. You fear God? We fear God in a healthy way. I'm not afraid of him. I'm afraid of my own stupidity. I'm afraid of what I might do without listening to God. We have great respect because we know he's looking out for us. He puts those things in the Bible to keep us out of the things that are going to harm us. And he does that till the day we go to be with him. But until then, I want to defer to him. How about you? I want to let his experience rule my life and give him the deepest respect and the honor as knowing that he knows best what's for me. And respect his wisdom and his knowledge in the fact that he's adopted and accepted me as his child. And I will not be deterred from honoring him over doubts or over foolish philosophies or over the desires that will get me into trouble. Work out your own Christianity with fear and trembling, because it is God who is the one operating in you both to desire and to operate on behalf of what is wished for. The question this morning for you is, do you fear God? And if you've been a little lazy about that and you really haven't thought about some of the things we're talking about here, will you start thinking about that? And every time you decide to step out of his wisdom and his knowledge and his understanding, will you walk back in to his wisdom and knowledge and understanding? Let's pray. Father, we are so appreciative of Philippians 2, 12, and 13. What a magnanimous verse, set of verses, that you ask us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And we know, Lord, that means respect and honor. Not to be afraid, but to understand you know best in our lives, and you're working in us at every moment for us to work out good consequences in life. And Lord, I'm just asking for one thing. Help us to have an opening, open ear to your word, that we might follow it. In Jesus' name, amen.